stands for American popular culture first took form in the late 19th century. This audiobook is an effort to come to terms with that history and its meaning. What are we talking about when we talk about pop? And what bearing has the music had on American life? Does popular music matter, really? And why is it so relentlessly romantic and sunny? Or am I wrong to think of pop that way? Among the ironies of popular music is that it is a phenomenon of vast scale and intimate effect, a product of mass culture that reaches millions of people or more at a time and works for each person in a personal way. We could look as an example at the tune that qualifies by some measures as the most successful popular song of all time, Yesterday, composed by Paul McCartney and first released on a Beatles single in 1965. It would be broadcast in its many renditions more than 7 million times before the end of the 20th century. The other side of the original release was Act Naturally, a country pop novelty that had been a hit for the Nashville star Buck Owens, warbled on the Beatles record by Ringo Starr. In at least one early advertisement for the record, Act Naturally was promoted as the A-side. Yesterday made the Guinness Book of World Records as the most recorded song in history, with more than 3,000 versions on record. I can't think of a tune that more people of varied ages are more likely to know, aside from Happy Birthday. Yet, Yesterday carries grossly different meanings, including some personal meanings, for many people. For McCartney himself, Yesterday stands as proof of his independent ability as a songwriter, evidence and refutation of the widespread view that he was at his best with the help of John Lennon. At various times, McCartney has attempted to have the songwriting credits to Yesterday reversed to McCartney and Lennon instead of Lennon and McCartney, the standard language for all the compositions John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote during the time of their partnership, regardless of the weight of the contribution by either person. For Lennon, after the breakup of the Beatles, the song was a gnawing, inescapable reminder of a past he was trying to leave behind to establish a new identity with Yoko Ono. "I go to restaurants," Lennon grumbled to Playboy in 1980, "and the groups always play Yesterday." To Bob Dylan, the tune was a symbol of the pandering sentimentalism in music made in Tin Pan Alley before the revolution in songwriting philosophy that Dylan's work incited. When his first biographer, Robert Shelton, brought up that he had heard that Joan Baez was planning to record Beatles material, Dylan launched into a lecture about Yesterday and songs in its vein. "It's the thing to do, to tell all the teeny boppers I dig the Beatles, and you sing a song like Yesterday," Dylan told Shelton. "God knows it's such a cop-out, man. If you go into the Library of Congress, you can find there are millions of songs like that written in Tin Pan Alley." A quick search online brings up an account of Laura Benetti and Stephen Blessing, a couple from Fort Myers, Florida, having chosen Yesterday for the father-daughter dance at their wedding. To me, considering this from the outside, the song seems an odd choice for the occasion because it is about troubles being here to stay. Yet, such is the ability of any tune to take on idiosyncratic meaning for any listener. My own parents' favorite song was For the Good Times, Kris Kristofferson's bittersweet plea to share one last moment together now that it's over. Searching online for another minute shows that the family of Meredith Ewart, who died in the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001, played Yesterday at her funeral. "On the evening before the attacks, September 10th, my wife Karen and I were at an event Paul McCartney attended, and he and his girlfriend at the time, Heather Mills, talked with Karen and me for a while. When they walked away, Karen said to me, 'I can't believe we were just hanging out with the man who wrote Yesterday.'" Karen, who is a jazz singer, loves the song with reason. As Lennon once said, "That was a good one, but I am sick and tired of it. I feel as though I must have heard all 3,000 of those recordings that got Yesterday into Guinness." Like Karen, I admire it, and at the same time, I resent it for its oppressive presence in my life. Its popular success has spoiled it for me. I can barely still hear qualities I heard in the song at various times in the past. The statement of generational pride in a rock-era composer's ability to write well in a style favored by his parents and grandparents, and the strangeness in the fact that a song so self-pitying could be a big hit. I would much prefer to hear Tell Me What You See, a minor Beatles song by Lennon and McCartney from the same period as Yesterday, because it